All right, so we're reminded this morning of a biblical principle. This is what we're going to carry into the new year. Now, next year's our vision casting. I'll be praying for us. I'm behind the clock on getting that ready, but I love it. You know, Russ comes, and he just confirms what we were already sharing as Notre team. Isn't that how the Spirit works? He knew nothing about New Hope, nothing about each one of you, and man, did he not know. Why? Because he's listening to the God who knows the very numbers of your head. He holds the tears that you've cried. He knows. And sometimes that's all that people need to know. That God knows and that he cares, right? Sometimes that's just enough to give you the comfort you need to stand back up and to walk forward. But as we go forward into 2020, there's a kingdom principle. You reap what you sow, right? We all know it. The world calls it karma. Do you know why karma exists? Because it's the enemy's warped twist on this principle. You reap what you sow. You do bad stuff happens to you. You do good stuff comes back to you. The reason karma works is because it's just a relabeling of sowing and reaping in the kingdom of God. It's the way he created this world. You reap what you sow. One does not sow corn and expect to have watermelon sprout up, right? If that happens, you're like, okay, yeah, this whole GMO thing, yeah, there's something to this, okay? There's some real nasty things happening. One does not sit around thinking about all the bad things that have ever happened to you and find themselves in a state of joy, do they? You reap what you sow, right? One does not work day and night and then expect to live in poverty, right? You just don't do that. You reap what you sow. You expect to get a paycheck when you put in the hours, right? One does not drive their car like they stole it. That used to be my motto when I was a teen, since Nate's not in the room. And expect not to receive a ticket at some point, right? For reckless driving, for, oh man. You get an accident and they pile on the tickets. Like, you weren't there. How do you know that, buddy? You can Google it. I went to court and I lost, you know. So, I have something on my record. Find some dirt on me. Right? You reap what you sow. And so quite often you receive what you're expecting. It's the same principle, I'm just going to put some different words to it, because I believe these are the words for a new episode of God going in the new year. You receive what you are expecting. If you walk into church and you look like this, right, and you're expecting to see hypocrisy all around you, you're going to see it, aren't you? If you're looking at people and you're like, they're not even worshiping. They're not even worshiping. They're not lifting their hands. They're on their phone. Hello? What are you doing? You're focused on Christ, you know? You praising him? I mean, come on. You receive what you're expecting. If you enter into a service expecting it to be the same old routine, that's exactly what it's going to be. Blah, 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 music, preaching, gone. That's what you're going to receive, if that's what you come expecting. If you come and you begin in worship wondering, when's this going to be over? If you're like one of my kids, how many songs are we doing this morning? Guess what? It is going to be the longest, most miserable worship set of your life. We're going to do nothing but Bethel music 12-minute songs. And we're going to ride them until we feel the Spirit's done with them, right? You're going to be in tears wanting to leave, right? If that's what you're expecting, that's what you're going to receive, right? I mean, come on, it's how it happens. I go into church, sir, and now God's God, he's sovereign. I've been in church services where I go in there just not even wanting to be there. I wish I would have stayed home. And then God kind of tugs at my heart and changes it. More often than not, though, you receive what you're expecting. You reap what you sow. You receive what you're expecting. So if you walk into church looking forward to seeing your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're going to be glad you came, right? Stan, that's so awesome to be here, man. How you been? You know, did you get that big buck? You know, you're going to be glad you came. It's going to be like Cheers. You know, you're going to hear that music. You know, somebody, I can't remember the lyrics. All right, you're going to be glad you came. If you walk into a service expecting a fresh word of God, a new revelation from him, he's going to give that to you. I've been in church services where somebody preached the same old moldy message, but the Spirit spoke to me in a different way. You receive what you're expecting, right? If you begin into worship, just adoring who Jesus is and what he's done for you, then you're going to have a powerful encounter with him. You will receive what you are expecting. So I think it's time to kind of raise our standards of our expectations of God, isn't it? Should we expect a little more? I'm going to be completely honest with you. I've had people pray for me, and I've expected me to walk away from that prayer and still have type 1 diabetes. I've had Bill Johnson, literally, physically, in person, pray for me, and I still have diabetes, and that's kind of heartbreaking, you know. You receive what you're expecting. We need to believe again in His Word. We need to have hope again that He's going to do what He said He's going to do. What does Joel Osteen always say? I'm not promoting the guy by any means, but this is the Word of God, right? I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. There is truth to that. Come on, right? If God promised you it, it's yours. Don't accept anything less. Stop believing the lies of the enemy that you sin too much so you're not worthy to receive it. You're a child of God. That's enough. He paid the price. You're worthy. You're valuable. What He promises you, it's yours. So start hoping and believing and trusting again that God's going to do those things. Because you reap what you sow, you receive what you're expecting. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Right? The people who grumbled and complained all through the desert, they received exactly what they were expecting. God killed them off in the desert. They never walked into God's promises. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you want to believe that way, that's great. You believe that for yourself, keep your mouth shut with everyone else in this church because we don't want to hear it, right? Find another church that believes that way. The gifts of the ministry, they're dead. They died, you know. They ceased. They ceased back when the perfect came, you know. Go to a church that believes those things. We don't believe those things. We believe the gifts are for today. We believe the promises for today. We believe Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. Never once did a sick person walk up to Him and He say, "Well, sorry about your luck, buddy. That's just God's will for you." Yep. You just, you know, you remember that affair you had back in, yep, mm-hmm. You got it right, so you're on your own, buddy. No! Every sickness, every disease healed. Everyone. Didn't matter why they brought it on. Yeah, some people were sick because of their sin. But guess what? Forgiven. Remember the man that was lowered down? Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." And they're like, "Who are you? Who gave you the authority to forgive sins?" And Jesus like, "Oh, you don't believe I have the authority to forgive sins? Get this. Get up and walk." And he rolled up his mat and he went off. Right? That Jesus Christ, that's what He's saying about you. Everyone else around you is saying, "Do you know that person? You know what they're doing right now? You know the lifestyle they've chosen?" And Jesus is like, "I don't see that. I see my child. They gave their life to me. Yeah, they got some work to do, but they're mine," right? Don't allow the curses of the people around you to be yours, because you're going to receive what you're expecting. So the question this morning is, what are you expecting? Be honest with yourself. What are you expecting? For 2019, for many of us, it was a year of tribulation and challenges. It is a year we'd rather put behind us and move on from. So what are you expecting in the upcoming year? The Lord says this. I could do this because Becky had to work this morning. She couldn't be here. She has no idea. Isaiah 66:9 says this. "I will not cause pain without allowing something new to be born." I will not cause pain without allowing something new to be born. You may have had a painful 2019. 2020 is a year of fulfillment. It's birthing time here. We're ready for it, right? I mean, look at the fulfillment of that. And also, we had fun, you know, making them too. I mean, it was pretty easy, right? Becky might disagree with how easy that process was, but, you know, come on. But here's the thing. I remember Becky when she was expecting. When she was expecting, she read this book over and over again, What to Expect When You're Expecting. She had the slightest little thing go wrong. It was either, "Hey, Mom," right? Or she's going through her book, you know? What do I need to deal with here? Whenever she was, you know, pregnant with our son, Nathaniel, her firstborn, it helped her prepare for some of the new experiences that she would likely encounter while she was expecting. It assisted her in navigating her way through all of the changes, some of the excitements, some of the fears, some of the surprises, some of the joy, some of the scares of pregnancy. You know the roller coaster that is for anyone who's ever, you know, carried a child. And, you know, husbands, it's like, "Who is this woman? Like, give me my wife back. I don't know what's going on here, but, like, I walked in the room. Why are you screaming at me? What did I do?" That book helped her navigate through what to expect when she was expecting. The Bible is that book for us as believers. You have been born again. You have been born into a new life. That means it's going to be different than your life before. So you need to know what to expect when you're expecting the promises of God to be fulfilled, the promises of God to manifest. You need to know what, because what happens otherwise? Remember the parable of the sower? Some of those seeds, they grew up fast, but they didn't know that, you know, this or that, and so they died quickly. We don't want to see any believer put their faith in Jesus, encounter something unexpected, and, you know, give up on Christ. We want to see them be like, okay, yep, I saw this coming. Okay, this is the enemy. This is not God. So this is how I'm going to respond. The book helps you navigate those things. What to expect when you're expecting the fullness of his salvation. It reminds us of the promises of God that we can put our hope, faith, and trust in, that we can expect to receive on our journey through that expectation season. God's promises, they come to us in a seed form so often. If you look through the Genesis account, blew me away the first time that I saw this. I read through Genesis 1, and I get through Genesis 2, and then I get to this little part that says, the earth was void. Not a bush had sprung up, because the Lord God had not yet sent a man to work it. When I read through the creation story, I'm thinking thick jungle. I mean, you see the children's, you know, illustrated Bible. I'm picturing that, and then God's word says, it was a big mud pit. It was all in seed form. He spoke and it was, but it came in seed form. Why? Because God wants to fulfill his promises in cooperation with man. He wants us to be co-workers, co-laborers. He has an inheritance for you. So it's a joy to work. So man came, Adam, he worked the garden, everything bloomed up. It's awesome, you know. Then you see that picture. When we receive God's promises in seed form, it's much like that newborn baby. We go through seasons, much like the trimesters of pregnancy. We experience pain and fear, much like childbirth. We receive what has been promised, just like the joy experienced when cuddling that newborn baby for the first time. Becky said all that pain she went through, it was forgotten about. Right? She didn't have an epidural with Nate. Like, everything just happened pretty quickly. You know, she goes in to get checked out, thinking, oh, routine. Next thing you know, her pants blow up, her water broke. You know? Like, it's happening, okay? Like, this isn't a routine checkup. It's happening now, like, completely unprepared for it. But when all that pain and suffering is over, she forgot about it all because she had her baby, and it was meaningless, you know? We learn to steward and to explore those fulfilled promises in new ways. Just like every child's first, their first word, their first tooth that they lost, their first, you know, car that they wrecked, their first whatever. As a child grows and matures, those are, even when they make mistakes, it's something you remember and cherish. It's something that you encounter and you experience. And so we learn to explore those promises in the same way that a child explores this new world that they grow and mature into as they go into adulthood. So 2019 may have been a turbulent year of challenges and difficulties, but God will not cause pain without allowing something new to be born. There's a process that takes place, and we have to cling with God to it. I remember when Becky was, you know, first giving birth to Nathaniel, the nurses had to keep saying, don't fight it, stop fighting it, okay? Push, stop fighting it, push. You want to fight pain, you don't want to hurt, right? But there's a purpose behind the pain. That pain is giving birth to something new and incredible, something that's going to give you such inexpressible joy that you're going to forget about the pain. That's what I believe God is speaking to you for this upcoming year. There may have been pain this past year, maybe experiencing it still, but there's something new that's going to come as a result. Better than ever before, you know, it's going to be exciting. So what are you expecting? Are you expecting just to keep experiencing pain? That woman giving childbirth, if she fights it and fights it and fights it, not only is she going to experience more pain by fighting it, she could actually lose that child. She could lose her life by fighting what her body was designed to do. If you are expecting bad things to happen, you just keep expecting those things to happen. They're self-fulfilling prophecies. If you believe that death's going to come your way, death's going to come your way. You reap what you sow. But if you believe that there's a purpose behind the pain and that something new is going to be birthed because of this, then something new is coming. And that gives you excitement. That's what I remember all the time, like, you know, rubbing her tummy and, like, just so excited for what was coming her way. She knew pain was going to be a part of it, but it didn't matter because something new was being birthed. And so if you're not sure what you're expecting this upcoming year, ask the people around you. Ask your family, ask your coworkers, ask the people at school, because they'll tell you what you're expecting by what you speak, by what you're talking about, right? They'll reveal to yourself the meditations of your heart and your mind. They will reveal what you are expecting. That's what words do. They come from the heart. So it's time to trade in, to do an exchange here. Some of those disappointments, some of those failures. Time to trade in our grumbling and, you know, everything that was just junky in the past year. It's time to trade those things in for the promises of God. It's time to lay on the altar those things that we think are right. We need to lay ourselves literally down. That's the worst thing about a living sacrifice. Romans 12, we're a living sacrifice. We keep wanting to get back up off that altar and pick up our own opinion and our own will and our own whatever. We need to lay those things down and pick up what the Lord is calling us into. We need to lay down those things that we do out of obligation. Because remember, that was a word that was brought by Russ Klein last week. The do. I'm a doer, so I preach do. You need to do this. If you do what's right, you'll be blessed, right? But more importantly than doing, because doing is pointless if you're doing it just out of obligation, compulsion, if you're doing it to receive something. You should be doing it because of who you are, a child of God, a son or daughter, a prince or princess. You do it not to earn something, but because of what you've already freely received, right? We do those things that way. We need to lay those things down, our traditions, our obligations. We need to really humble ourselves before the Lord. Isaiah 66, I'm going to go through this a little bit today, says this: "These are the people I am pleased with." This is the Lord speaking, quoting him in Isaiah 66. "These are the people I'm pleased with. Those who are not proud or stubborn." Those who are not proud, that means you're humble. And those who are not stubborn, they kind of go hand in hand, right? Me and my way, my opinion. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do things my way. Whatever, you know. The Lord loves a humble person who is teachable. Not a person who is stubborn and prideful. He said, "These are the people I'm pleased with, those who fear my word." If it's the word of God, it's the word of God. It doesn't matter who it's being spoken through, who it's coming from, or how it's coming out. If it's the word of God, it's the word of God. That's what I've got to fear. In verse 3, he goes on and he says, "But those people who kill bulls as a sacrifice, they're just like those who kill people." Now they're doing what God's word told them to do. They're killing bulls, rams, and lambs as sacrifices for their sins, right? They're doing what they're supposed to do. And God says they might as well go kill a person instead of that bull. He says those who kill sheep as a sacrifice, they're like those who break the necks of dogs. And you should see, if you want to get the context of this, I should have had a commercial playing. Those, you know, the beaten animals and the ones that are chained up outside in the cold. My daughter, she cries her face off. How can they do that to those poor little creatures? I'm like, I got a 22. I'll put it out of its misery. I mean, if how could you do that? She hates me for it. But anyways, a little sneak at her. You're like those who break the necks of dogs. Like, it probably breaks God's heart too, you know? That's why he said it here. Those who give me grain offerings, they're like those who offer me the blood of pigs. Those who burn incense, they're like those who worship idols. These people, they choose their own ways, not mine. And they love the terrible things that they do. So it's time for us to stop going down the path that we think is right. Even the path that we think is godly. Even the path that we have the scriptures to defend ourselves on. We need to begin our journey on the path that follows Jesus. The path that the Spirit is calling us onto. That is where freedom is found. That is where joy is found. That's where all the fruits of the Spirit come to existence. It's time for us to pick up the promises of God and to make those our hope again, expecting those things to come to pass. It's time to believe in the power and the might of our great God to do the impossible, no matter what our reality is. It's time to rediscover our true selves back at the foot of the cross where we laid down our old self and we allowed the resurrection power of Jesus to raise us to new life. There are some things in our lives that we need to sacrifice again and allow him to resurrect into new life. It's time for us to cast off doubt and to rise up in faith once again. So this year, what are you expecting? More than likely, that's what you're going to receive. Now, how does a new mother speak of the newborn baby that she's expecting? Rarely, we heard this on one occasion, myself and my wife, rarely do you hear a new mother cursing their child, right? Rarely do you hear a new mother speaking poorly of that unborn child. Rarely do you hear a new mother expecting her unborn child to just be a lazy bum that's going to make nothing of themselves and I'm going to have to support them the rest of their lives, right? You ever hear a new mother being like, "You little son of a..." No, you don't hear that ever, right? No, usually you hear a new mother in awe, wondering what this life is going to do and accomplish, wondering what it's going to be, wondering what it's going to become. I mean, you start dreaming big dreams for that child before they ever even take their first breath. She speaks encouragement. She prays for that child. Even unbelieving women pray for their child right before they're born. She laughs and she rejoices as that child begins to grow, as they begin to roll around in there and they respond to your voice and they're kicking. And, you know, it's exciting. There is a joy and an anticipation in the waiting season. Why is it that we're so miserable when we're in the waiting season in our faith? We should be like that new mother who isn't, like, you know, down on that waiting season, but who gets excited about that waiting season, wondering, God, what are you going to do? What is this situation going to become? I mean, it's going to be good. Why don't we have that same, like, expectation, that same hope, that same trust that it's going to be good? It's going to be greater than anything I can even imagine. We should have that same attitude in our waiting season of faith as that newborn mother does in her waiting season, right? Now, of course, she gets a little impatient and irritable near the end, right? But isn't that just like the kingdom of God? Think about that. What do demons do right before they fled and gave freedom to that person? They usually squabbled and shrieked and made a hole, thrown a person down. I mean, they made a ruckus right before freedom came. So when you think things are falling apart, there's a good chance that God is just reconstructing it. He's tearing down everything that ought not to be, and he's ready to build up what should be. Don't fear the demolition process. Don't fight the pain and the agony and the, God, why are you taking away from me? Because there's only one reason God will take something away from you. It's so he can give you something better, right? It's so that you can open your hands to receive what he has. That's about the only reason God ever takes things away. So be like that eagerly expecting mother with that newborn child. What does she do? She prepares the house. She packs her bag. She plans out the hospital trip. She has her phone ready to call and text everybody about this birth, you know, as soon as the moment begins. She prepares to receive the promise long before she ever holds that baby in her arms. Doesn't she? Why don't we do that with our faith? Why don't we start preparing the way for the promises of God? Because we're expecting them. They're yes and amen. They're going to happen. So I need to make room in my life for this promise. I need to make a way for God to just give that blessing to me so that it is a blessing, right? We need to have, it's an act of faith. It's an act of trust in our God. We ought to start preparing that way for the expectation of God's promises to be fulfilled. We ought to dream in awe and wonder of what God could do through my life, through me. We should believe that our best days, they're still ahead of us. The good old days were pretty good, but they're nothing. We're going from glory to glory, right? You know, those were glory days, right? They were. But there's even greater glory days coming, right? You know? They're coming from glory to glory. We need to believe together with God that all things are possible. You haven't screwed up too much. You haven't whatever enough. It's God. It's him. It's not you that's going to do the work, that's going to make this happen. Expect the impossible to become your reality. Enjoy good days together and cling in trust and faith and hope during the difficult ones. He's going to see you through it. It's not going to end in that valley. God has good things on the other side of it. The whole context of Isaiah 50, 65 and 66, they're in the days yet to come and also the days that we are living in. They're about Jerusalem, but not that city of David and Israel. They're about the new Jerusalem, which we are members of. We're citizens of heaven. The context is that about all the people. If you read the beginning of Isaiah 65, it was about the people who are not even yet a people who God was going to call. A people not even seeking God, not even praying to him, but he was calling them in. They were going to have an encounter with God, and they weren't even seeking him. That's Isaiah 65. That's about us. We're the fulfillment of that. That's the context. This is what God promises in just these two little chapters. I'm just going to read through them quickly without quoting for time's sake. He says that my servants will eat. My servants will drink. They will be happy. They will shout for joy. My people will be given a new name. And you know what that means? You know the reputation you maybe used to carry. You know the name that you used to have. He's given you a new name. Okay? You're not the same person. You're the new Steve. You're the new Mystique. You're the new Megan. You're the new Sharon. You're a Sharon that's Sharon, right? You know? I mean, come on. There's good stuff coming. You got a new name. The troubles of your past are going to be forgotten. Jesus says that those troubles will go away. He said that my people will be blessed by the faithful God. My people will not remember the past. They won't even think about it. My people will be so full of joy because they will be the Lord's delight. My people will no longer be a baby born only to live a few days. In fact, one who lives to be 100 years will be thought as young. Can you imagine that? Isaiah 66. Those who live to be 100 years will be thought of as young. No longer will baby be born just to live a few days. Wow, that promise. They will be comforted. They will be satisfied. Their needs will be provided for before they even ask. We heard some of the testimonies of that happening already. Things you don't even pray for, and God goes ahead of you and does it. You know? You didn't even know it was a need yet, and He took care of it. They will be helped by God while they are even still praying and asking for it. That's a promise, Isaiah 66. This is Old Testament about you. They will be satisfied. They will receive good things and enjoy wealth. And of course, we're not just talking about physical prosperity. We're talking about soul prosperity as well, right? He will give us peace that will flow like a river. You try stopping a river. Just try. You can't. Not even the engineers of today can stop it. They have to redirect it. They might be able to dam it up for only for so long there needs to be a spillway, right? You can't stop it. A peace that cannot be stopped. No matter what the enemy builds as a weapon against you to try to stop it, it cannot be stopped. A peace like a river. It's awesome. We will grow. We will be nursed by Him. We will be held in His arms. We will be bounced on His knee. And then Marie gives that picture off, you know, like, you know, just Daddy, you know, Daddy God just bouncing us on His knee, you know. Just that just rest and trust in our Daddy God, in our Father, right? That's a promise from Isaiah 66. We'll be bounced on His knee. It'll be a joy. You know, I caused fear in Becky when I used to bounce our kids on my knee and throw them up in the air, you know. That's our Daddy God. You can trust Him, right? You can trust Him. It's a joy. It's exciting. We will be marked by Him. And we will be sent out to tell the nations of His salvation who have not yet heard about it. That's a word from Isaiah 66 toward the end. We will see His power. We will grow. We will tell of His glory. And then finally, and we know this is the finally, there will be a new heavens and a new earth. That's not just a word from Revelation. That is a prophetic word from Isaiah 66 and 65. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. We can expect all these promises to come. That's just from two chapters of the Old Testament. I mean, what more do you even need for your life? I mean, I'll take all those and I'll be content, right? The Word of God has so many promises for you. Not for when you kick the bucket and enter into heaven. They're useless there. That's the new order of things. That's perfection. You don't need healing in heaven. There's no sickness or disease. These promises are for here on the earth, here and now, for His children, for His people, for His nation. That's you, right? Believe it. That's for me. That promise is for me. God, you're going to do this for me. We can expect all those promises to come to pass in our lives. And those are all just found in those few simple verses. There's more. There's so much more that we can expect from our God. We can truly expect it. God's promises are like a vast ocean that you can lose yourself in. There are things even in the ocean of this earth that we have yet to see, right? We have yet to reach the depths of the ocean. I mean, that's like God's promises. I don't care how many times you've read the Bible cover to cover, every time I read it, there's a new promise I've never seen before. It's awesome. It is exciting. It is exhilarating. Join the adventure with Jesus of exploring them and receiving them. And so in closing here, as we kind of go into the new year together, I want to encourage us to have hope again. You may not have received it yet, but believe it's coming. Expect good things to come your way. Expect every promise of God to be fulfilled in your life. And if you reach a point where you feel hopeless and you don't see how this is going to end, call up on your brothers and sisters in Christ. Call on your new elders. They will encourage you in the Word of God. Okay, I know this is bad, and I'm so sorry. We're gonna cry with those who are crying. We're going to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. But we're going to go beyond that. We're not just going to boohoo together. We're not just going to celebrate together. We're going to say, but God. This is what God says. This is what God has promised. I know it is hard right now, and I know it's dark right now, but God promised this. And so let's just believe in Him, and let's pray together and trust together. So even when challenges arise as you face them, always end the meditations of your heart and mind. This is where the battleground lies, in your heart and mind personally, within you. That is where your breakthrough is waiting. Always, in those meditations, speak as David did. He was honest. Go to God and be like, God, this sucks, and I hate it, and I don't understand what in the world you're doing. Be honest with Him. David was. My enemies, I feel like I'm, up to my neck in water. I'm drowning, and they're defeating me and everything. But he always finished those honest, truthful laments with, yet I will put my trust in the Lord. Yet my hope is in His Word. Yet my God, who did it before, will do it again. Okay, be honest. Complain, lament, whatever, to the Lord in your prayers. Tell Him how you really feel about it. Don't hold back, because He already knows. But end it with, but God. But I'm expecting God to do this. But the Lord has promised me this. And that's what I'm going to stand on. That's what I'm going to hang my hat on. That's what I'm going to rest firmly in, no matter what happens around me. I don't know how this is going to end, but my God is not only here with me, He's already gone ahead of me. He knows what is ahead of me, and He's going to meet me there. So I don't know how this is going to end, but it's going to be good. It's going to be for my good, for His glory. He is leading me, and I will follow. So this year, what are you expecting? What are you expecting? Be honest with yourself and change those poor expectations. Higher your standards of God. Believe again, hope again, trust again that good things are coming your way. That's the only way to receive them. Stop with these naysaying, self-fulfilling curses and start blessing. Start blessing. Start speaking life and blessing, because you will eat the fruit of your lips. I want it to be good stuff. I want it to be the promises of God. I want that to be fulfilled in my life and for my family. Think about that for your kiddos. You won't rest until they receive everything God has for them. That same, it's like a dog with a bone. I got this little Chihuahua dog, this Chorky. She's the cutest little thing. She has a pink sweater on right now, and she'll just lick you to death. But man, you give her a bone, and you try to touch that thing. That should be you with the promises of God, okay? Even when a friend who loves you comes to you and says, you know what? You just got to trust what the doctors say. You got to be like, no, don't you eat, you get away from me. This is what God says, okay? You need to be like that dog with the bone with the promises of God, okay? Accept nothing less. That's yours. He paid too high of a price for me not to receive it. It's mine. I will receive it. I will endure through this season, because this season is going to end in a burst of rejoicing with the fulfillment of God's promises. That's how we need to face the new year. So next week, okay, we have the vision for 2020, and it's not really about 2020 vision. It's exciting what God wants to do here in this place, what God wants us to become. I'm looking forward to it. I have longed for it, and we're going to walk into it together. It's going to be good. It's going to be so good. All right, so let's close in prayer. So Jesus, we thank You so much for being faithful and true. We thank You, Jesus, for Your Word always fulfilling exactly what it was set out to do. Jesus, soften our hearts. Humble us, God. We don't want to miss out on anything You have for us. Forgive me, Jesus, for going my own way. Forgive me for doing what I'm supposed to do out of obligation, out of tradition, out of religion. Jesus, this morning, renew my heart, renew my mind. Help me to realize what it truly means to be a child of God. Help me to truly believe again every one of Your promises until they are mine. And Jesus, when I receive them, help me to keep open hands and to give them away to those around me. Thank You, Jesus, so much for not giving up on a wreck like me. Thank You, Jesus, for filling me, for anointing me, for appointing me, for doing all these wonderful things in and through my life. Let people all over know that it's not me, it's You. Thank You, Lord, for this new year, for these new beginnings. and for this new hope. In your name, amen.